The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome along to The Punt, another weekend of Premier League football coming up. And joining me to look ahead to those matches is Derek McGovern and Lee Phelps. How are you, fellas?
Very well, great.
Excellent, thank you. I'm in the media centre at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
I'm in the media centre at my house.
Brilliant. Very good. And so I'm looking forward to talking about football, actually.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get straight into it then. The first game is Crystal Palace against QPR. We'll start with
No, we want to talk about football.
Yeah, Crystal Palace 3-4. The draw is 13-5. QPR 15-4. How about this then to set your weekend football up? It's a game everybody wants to tune into, I'm sure.
After 4 days of vintage sports at Cheltenham, we wake up with a bang on Saturday, don't we, with this game? Jesus Christ.
I think this will be better than people think. I think it's not the worst game in the world. We've got Sunderland Villa later on.
Yeah,
let's not go mad. I'll start if you like. QPR just need to win, don't they? The big news, of course, is that Palace are missing their Aussie captain, Mile Jedinak. It's a big blow. But to be honest, I still fancy their London neighbours who are on this rotten Ramsey Street and can't win home or away.
That's world class. In my comment tomorrow, that one.
Yeah, I thought it was straight out of the Derek McGovern handbook, that one. I know. Palace's home form has been pretty poor under the new manager, to be honest. I think it's 4 points they picked up out of possible 12, whereas away from home they picked up 9 from 12. Good news from them is that Glenn Murray's back, 3-2 before he got to get that sending off. So I expect him to be worth a look on the goal scoring side of things. And of course, Charlie Austin for QPR is a man, isn't he? 15 of their 29 goals have come from Charlie Austin. So I wouldn't mind looking at either or maybe even both of those players to score. But I just think, as I said at the start, I think QPR have to go out and win this game. We've talked a lot on this podcast about how the home form was great early on in the season and how they wouldn't be able to maintain that because of the games that they've got coming up towards the end. Well, they're playing the weaker teams away now and they have to start winning these games, otherwise they're going to be playing Championship football. I think this is a pretty crucial weekend looking at some of the games. I think we could really write a few teams off if we haven't already, and QPR one of them. I think they have to go and win it. Whether they do win it is another matter. But given Palace's form at home, I can't be having them at the price. I really can't. I don't think they're that good a team. They deserve to be the price they are. If forced on the outright, I think I would go for a QPR win, believe it or not. I know they've only won one game away all season, but they are capable. They have got scorers in their ranks. And without Jedinak, I think Palace are a weaker team. So can't have the 3-4 for Palace. I'd probably take the QPR 15-4 on the outright. I think QPR will score. And I think Charlie Austin will get it for them. So I'm going to back Charlie Austin to score. Charlie Austin to score in a QPR win, the headline offer is 8-1, which does look a huge price. But I'll just settle for the Charlie Austin to score at any time. Shouldn't be 9-5. I don't think so. That's mine. Austin, any time at 9-5.
Yeah, you mentioned Palace, Lee, odds on it. I mean, it's the ludicrous bet, isn't it? And I speak as a man who's had 20 of them already at Cheltenham. It's just a Palace at odds on at home. It's crazy. And, any punter worth his salt would see that the only value here is QPR. And yeah, we know their away form is terrible, but they must have looked at what's come at home and thought, Jesus, we better start winning away. And they did win at Sunderland, as you pointed out. What's his name? Glenn Murray's coming back for Palace. What did you say, 3-2? Wasn't that your night at Cheltenham last night? But I'm going to go for QPR here, 15-4. I think it's a massive price.
Moving on to the other live game on Saturday, then Burnley against Man City. Burnley are 6-1. The draw is 7-2. Man City 4-9. Burnley need to start picking up some points. It's 7 without a win for them in the league, and it's the wrong time to be playing City because they can't afford to make any more mistakes, can they? So we'll start with you this time, Derek. How does this one go?
I'm tired of backing. Looking at City at these short odds and getting it wrong with them. They're making too many mistakes right now. And remember, Burnley came back from the dead at the Etihad just around about Christmas time. Came back from 2-0 down to draw 2-2. I just can't trust City. A few weeks ago, I thought, yeah, the no-brainer. They'll go to Turf Moor and win when wanted. But I just don't believe it now. And all tales from dressing room unrest in the papers this week, the Vincent Kompany business something is not quite right there. And do you want to back a team at Longodds? And I'm sure there'll be six or seven Cheltenham bets than City at 4-9. I'm looking at Burnley on the handicaps. You can't go for them at 6-1 to win outright. And Burnley plus a two goal stars is not too such long odds on, is it? It's a 4-7, maybe a little bit short for some people. But I'll tell you what, I'll play a bit more intrepidly and go Burnley plus a goal at 17-10. I just can't trust City at the moment.
Okay, Burnley plus a goal there. Then how do you see it going, Lee?
Yeah, I think City will get this done, to be honest with you.
Remember, they've got Barcelona next week, haven't they?
But I think, I think that they've got to warm up for that game, haven't they? They've got to find a way of getting some points on the board, getting some goals scored, and get going with this. I just, I can't see them doing anything else than hammering Burnley, to be honest with you. I mean, and one interesting thing, you mentioned, Derek, about that 2-2 draw, which was a fantastic result for them, to be honest with you. Burnley, the only team to come back to get any kind of result after City have been ahead, two goals ahead in the last 68 league matches, which is a bizarre stat, but just shows what a good result that was for Burnley back then. Not this time. I mean, I agree. I mean, City are pretty much in the same camp as Arsenal for odds on, aren't they, really? You can't really trust them to do anything when they're odds on, but I think they'll score here. Surely they've got to score goals. There's been 45 goals in the last 9 head-to-heads between these two teams. I think there'll be plenty more. I think they have to use it as a warm-up for Barcelona, try and get some goals, because that's what they need against Barca. I think there'll be plenty of goals here. I've put this bet up a few times and it hasn't really come in, but I love Sergio Aguero. I think he's on the verge of scoring plenty again. So I'm going to have a look at him to score two or more in the match. I actually think City aren't a bad price. If you can trust them. So Aguero to score two or more at 19-5 is decent. I mean, Aguero to score any time in the match is 3-4 at Burnley, who are going to be a Championship team next season. I mean, that looks a great price if you don't mind the odds on. But I'll go two or more at 19-5. The hat-trick, by the way, is 20-1, which I think looks big if they do score a few goals against this Burnley outfit, who have to go out and try and win the game, by the way. There's no point in messing about, City behind the ball. They have to go and win this.
Well, they must have seen Chelsea last night and thought, God, how are they 5 points clear of us? They must think that the title... Yeah. All of a sudden, Chelsea look a very ordinary team, don't they? And so City, you've got... I agree, they have got to go out and win. But, it's one thing saying it, another thing going out and doing it. And the way they're playing right now, I couldn't trust them at those odds.
It's a fair enough point. So I'd be looking at something, something that's a bit of value amongst it. Maybe, looking at the goals, the City goals maybe. But I'll just stick with Aguero. I think they will score goals, and I think Aguero will get amongst the action.
Okay. Moving on to the Sunday matches. Chelsea take on Southampton, the first of them. Chelsea are 8-13, the draw 13-5, and Southampton 5-1. Derek, you've just alluded to Chelsea in midweek in the Champions League. They look nothing better than ordinary, did they? So do they bounce back here?
I mean, they were absolutely shocking, weren't they? Absolutely shocking. Like Jeremy Clarkson, they just couldn't get into the top gear. Even Hazard, the man who normally sparks them, seems subdued. And can we come to my mate Costa, Lee? Dear me.
The line's just breaking up.
dear you. I've described him in the paper today as the poor man's James Beattie. Honestly. Lee sent me a text in the week. £32 million they paid for him. And he scored fewer Champions League goals this season than Ricky Lambert. Mickey Duff should sign him up. That's all he's fit for. I just can't have him. I can't have the geezer. And right now, I've written off Southampton many times this season. I think they've been wildly overrated by the bookies. They've been long odds on, at home against the cannon fodder team, and they've messed up on too many occasions. But I have to say, at these kind of odds, 11-2, 6-1, to beat a Chelsea team softened up big time. There's no fear factor now in Chelsea. I've said a few times this season, it's like when Man United were polishing off teams, and when they won that league 2-3 seasons ago, when they were absolutely pony. Well, Chelsea are threatening to do the same. I can't remember a first-class Chelsea performance, and right now they're there for the taking. I'm going to go for Southampton big time.
Okay, Southampton for Derek. Do you agree, Lee?
No. I think Chelsea will, a manager like Mourinho doesn't let that kind of performance happen twice in a row, in my opinion. And he wasn't happy. He's all about protecting his players, isn't he? We know that. but he wasn't showing much protection the other night. I think he'll have them up for this and have them going. I don't think there'll be a lot in it, though. I don't think they'll get it their own way by any stretch of the imagination. You know, this is the best home defence versus the best away defence in the Premier League. You know, and we know we've seen Southampton time and time again make it very difficult for big away teams, you know, big home teams, sorry, when they've gone away. They know how to set up. They know what they want to go and do. And, you know, they're in their own little predicament, aren't they? They need to kind of arrest the slump a little bit and start to pick up points. I think they'll view this as being a game where they can just go and try and shut up shop. I think Chelsea win this, and I think they win it either 1 or 2-0. Under 1.5 goals is 21-10, under 2.5 is 4-6, so the bookies are on to that, really. So I'm going to play Chelsea to win and under 2.5 goals at 21-10. Wouldn't be at all surprised if it was 2-0. Remember, they've done that six times at home this season already, and that's priced up at 6-1. But I'll just for safety's sake, I'll go Chelsea to win under 2.5 goals.
Okay, so a bit of a contrasting opinion there then. Moving on to the other game on Sunday, Man United against Tottenham. Man United are 19-20, the draw 12-5, and Spurs are 3-1. We'll start with you this time, Lee. You obviously quite like Man United at home. The stats prove that Man United are pretty solid at home, but they're still not playing attractive football. Did they do enough to win this against Spurs, though, who are in form at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think, you know, without wanting to steal Derek's thunder too much, I mean, it was last season or the season before, it might have been last season actually, I think Derek called, you know, Tottenham at Old Trafford, I think it was early in the season, called it one of the bets of the season, and so it proved. And, you know, that record that that Man United had over Tottenham, which was, you know, it was churned out every time they played and beating them in God knows how long. Well, now it's five games without a win for Man United in this fixture. You know, Tottenham have got a little bit of a sign over them now. I think there are so many bets in this game. You know, the Man United first half stats are, you know, which I've talked about a lot. You know, they scored the most goals at home of any club with Arsenal at 30. They scored six more goals in the first half at home than any other club, the nearest to them being Chelsea. They do score goals at home, no two ways about it. Now, they are depleted up front now, but Rooney's got seven in his last eight starts against Tottenham. If you think Man United can score in the first half against Tottenham, then I think they can. Tottenham have recovered more points from losing positions than any other team in the Premier League. So the old Tottenham to come from behind and win or draw might be worth a look. Harry Kane, of course, six straight goals in the Premier League at the moment away from home. I think it was last week, it was more about him being potentially being player of the year. And I think he's got a genuine chance of picking up that award this season. He might even get both. He might get the young player and the player of the year, as Gareth Bale did and Cristiano Ronaldo did in the past. And he's the man, really. I think there'll be goals. I think there could be three or four goals in this match, easy. So I'd happily play the over 3.5. But I want to be with Harry Kane still. He's scored against better defences than this. Tottenham have scored 21 away goals so far this season. Tottenham are a tremendous price at 3-1, but I think Derek might take that. I'm just going to go with Harry Kane to score in the match. I just think he's arguably the best striker in the league at the moment on form. Fancy him just to get a goal at any time. Just a nice, simple one. Anyone with more value than stick him in with a Tottenham win, you've got a massive bet there.
Okay, so Harry Kane.
6-1, I think, isn't it, Mark?
It's the headline offer, yes. I was just watching. Yeah. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 6-1.
13-8 any time. My computer froze a bit for a second there. 13-8 any time. I like that. If you compare that to Rooney, 23-20. I'd rather be on Harry Kane than Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, yeah, right away, isn't he? He's playing right now. You're right, Lee, as well. It was two seasons ago. I said Tottenham were 5-1. They were 5-1 that day. So it were the bet of the season. I made them the podcast nap. The following season, they were 4-1. Again, I made them the podcast nap. This time, the 3-1. Again, I'm going to make them the podcast nap because they should not be 3-1 to beat this Man United team. How is Louis van Flaffe still not getting the kind of stick he deserves? I mean, if he was judged on signings, he's in big trouble, isn't he? If he's judged on his haircut, he's in even bigger trouble, isn't he? The guy, I just don't see what... I don't see anything. I can't see what he's doing there. He talks about his philosophy, But Stolarski seems to be to lump it forward to Marouane Fellaini, even when he's not playing. I mean, I can't have him, and I can't understand these odds. It's like the bookies know just how bad United are, but they haven't really got the courage or the conviction to, you know, to make them the price they deserve to be, which in my eyes should be about 6-4. 10-11 or whatever it is, 4-5 is an absolute joke. And I'm on Tottenham all day long and all night long and all weekend long.
Okay, so you're both going for Spurs then, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're better. I mean, as Eric said, that 5-1 was great. Tottenham are arguably, they might be better, they might be about the same. It doesn't really matter. But Man United aren't a better team than they were back then.
No, you're right. Yeah.
And you know, I know 3-1 shorter, but it should be much closer than that, in my opinion.
Yeah, of course it should.
Yeah. Okay, the final live game of the weekend is Swansea against Liverpool. It's 11-4 for Swansea. The draw is 12-5. Liverpool are even money. We'll start with you here, Derek. Liverpool still on this magnificent run. I think it's 12 games unbeaten in the Premier League now. I don't think they've lost a game all season, calendar year, in the Premier League either. Does it continue at Swansea?
Well, if I hadn't gone to Anfield last Sunday for that game against Blackburn, I'd have said, yeah, I'll be on Liverpool all day. But what I saw was really worrying. In fact, I'll have to, just as an aside, I took my 10-year-old lad for his first game at Liverpool. What a game to choose. It was probably the worst game I've ever seen. But he did say, quite a sweet moment, you know, just before kick-off when the crowd are singing that you'll never walk alone. And he was standing on his chair. He looked at me and said, Dad, I feel like crying. Isn't that great? Isn't that, well, you know, it would melt even the hardest heart, even the Phelps heart, that one. But that was a little aside. But the match stunk the place out. I really don't know what to think about this. I think Liverpool are a bit short at evens, but Swansea I've never caught right in 5 seasons. I just can't catch them right. Don't really know about this game. I'll play safe and go for the draw. Instinctively, I think Liverpool are too short.
Okay, Liverpool too short. What do you make of it, Lee?
That's the nicest thing Derek's ever said. I mean the match preview, not a bit about it, Sean. I think Liverpool will go away and win the game. They seem to be happier playing away, in a sense. They seem to, their style seems to fit better because they're allowed just to sit back and let the opposition come onto them. It just seems like they're a little bit more comfortable. And look at their away form, you know, especially their away defensive form. I mean, it's absolutely tremendous in the Premier League, isn't it? At the moment, they're on this brilliant run of 5 straight clean sheets since being beaten by Manchester United when they conceded 3 goals in the match, 2 in the first half. So they've beaten, I mean, I know these teams aren't anything to write home about, particularly at Burnley, Sunderland, Villa, the 0-0 at Everton, then the 2-0 at Southampton. I think Swansea are probably on a par with Southampton in terms of where they are. Swansea have only failed to score in 2 home games this Premier League season, and that was against Chelsea and Southampton, 2 of the best defences away from home. Now, Liverpool aren't one of the best defences over the course of the season, but they clearly are at the moment. So I think Liverpool will win this. I think Liverpool will win it to nil as well. But I'm a real scaredy cat when it comes to backing teams to win to nil, because I hate for a fluky goal or something daft to happen. So I'm just going to back. I like Liverpool to win, but I think Sturridge will see the best of him from now to the end of the season. So I like the headline offer: Sturridge to score and Liverpool to win 3-1. I think these two teams have similar kinds of styles, but Liverpool are a higher rung on the ladder than Swansea. So, yeah, Liverpool win, Sturridge to score for me.
Okay, both, well, Liverpool for Lee and a draw for Derek. Then moving on to the 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday afternoon, and we'll start with Arsenal against West Ham. It's 2-5 for Arsenal. The draw is 7-2, and West Ham are 7-1. Lee, you've made a point of saying you don't trust Arsenal at odds on, so at 2-5 against a decent West Ham side, you must think they're too short there.
Yeah, that's the first rule in my Bible. I'm going to release my Bible like Derek has. This is my only rule at the moment, but it's a good one. It's way too short. You know, probably will win the game because, you know, West Ham have got an absolutely terrible record against Arsenal. Sam Allardyce has never won a game against Arsenal away from home against any team that he's managed, and there are so many stats in this game that line up the Arsenal win. I could see a lot of people putting this in Akers, but you know, whether it comes in for them is another matter. We've talked about the West Ham headers this season quite a lot. They scored the most headers in the Premier League, 16. Arsenal have conceded the third most headers in the Premier League behind Burnley and Stoke. They've conceded 10. So, Hill's off of that special market. It's usually on match day, you know, a player to score a header, so that might be worth having a look at. And there's another little stat where West Ham have actually scored the first goal in getting four of the last five games against Arsenal. But the Gunners have gone on to win the game. So I've been looking at the Arsenal to come from behind and win, which is a nice little bet. You have to scroll down to the other markets when you look at the game page. Scroll down there. Arsenal to come from behind and win is a bet. I think when I last checked, it was around the 18-5 mark. I'll just double check that because I did it yesterday. I'll have a look and just double check that it's still the same price as that. But I think based on the stats, that's Arsenal to come from behind and win or draw, actually. It's 4-1 now, actually. Arsenal, 4-1 to come from behind and win or draw. To come from behind and win is priced up at 6-1. So given my reticence at backing Arsenal at odds on, I'll take the safe option and Arsenal to come from behind, win or draw at 4-1. I think that's decent. But yeah, the run, I was just looking for the run that they're on. They're terrible. They've won none of the last 13 league games against Arsenal, drawing two of them. They've lost the last eight in a row as well, which is awful. So Arsenal probably win it, but what a price, Derek, eh?
Well, that's it. Yeah, you just can't bring yourself to back it, can you? I mean, all the stats are right, but the crucial stats are the odds. And 2-5, it's beyond belief when you consider that. It was only a few weeks ago West Ham were we were talking about qualifying for the Champions League. No one believed it, but there was still talk. They're now below Swansea, by the way, in the league, West Ham. That's how far they've fallen. And, you know, there has been a bit of uncertain performances, principally that Crystal Palace one a couple of weeks ago. There was a definite end-of-season feel about them. But then they gave a decent performance against Chelsea the following week, and that's symptomatic of what they've been able to do. When they've had a real shocker, they've somehow bounced back and put in a half-decent performance. Remember, they got beat by West Brom 4-0 in the Cup and then held Tottenham 2-2 in that game they should have won. So I don't think all is lost yet for West Ham, but I just don't. Arsenal got everything to play for. West Ham nothing to play for.
Yeah.
Which probably explains the 2-5 quotes. I hate backing Arsenal at those odds. So what I'll do, thinking that West Ham might down tools if things don't go their way, I'm going to go for Arsenal -2 at 5-2. Now if that one doesn't cop, I won't feel anywhere near as bad about myself if I back them at 2-5. So yeah, that's my Arsenal -2. But it's not a bet that it's, you know, there's a lot of, there's nine better bets on the coupon this weekend than that one.
Yeah, it's just the pricing really for Arsenal. They're in decent enough form. They've got this hoodoo over West Ham, and West Ham haven't won since the back end of January any game. So it's just the price, isn't it? It's just terrible at 2-5. All right, West Brom against Stoke is where we'll go next. West Brom 7-5, the draw 2-1, and Stoke are 9-4. Tony Pulis hosting his former club. Does that see West Brom get up for this and win it for him?
Well, he did it last year, didn't he? Didn't he host Crystal Palace against Stoke? And I think he won 1-0 in that one. But I tell you what, you know, who's got the worst record in sport this year? Is it Jim Courier for leading USA to two Davis Cup defeats by Britain in a year? Or Tony Pulis for leading West Brom to two defeats by Aston Villa in a week? I mean, you know, dear me, how did you lose twice to Villa? Losing once takes some doing. It's a real tough one, isn't it? I can't see a bag full of goals in this one. You know what? I might well go for the draw. I just think a few weeks ago, I would have been on Stoke, and I should be on them now after West Brom losing twice to Villa. But I don't know. I just think they've gone off the boil a little bit. I'm going to go for the draw.
Okay, draw for Derek. What about yourself, Lee?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? I mean, Stoke are kind of one of those teams who haven't got an awful lot to play for. The ninth, so they've got the highest position. You know, their highest position in the Premier League to play for, I guess. And it's just how much Mark Hughes can get them up for it and how keyed up they are for it. However much teams would say they're up for it and in this position that they're in, I think that even if they're a percentage or two off, then it gives the team who've still got something to play for a definite edge. This is a big derby as well, isn't it? It's usually pretty feisty, this one, this West Brom Stoke game. 30 points at the minute, West Brom. And I think, you know, as Derek said there, like, been a terrible, like, you know, couple of games for them. I think they'll want to bounce back, and you know, the home form has been much better. I suppose what you'd say, Derek, is those two games were away from home, weren't they? Where,
well, yeah, but Lee, against Stoke have won on their last five visits to West Brom. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't really know. I'd go for the draw, to be honest with you. But I'm going to do my usual trick and ignore the outrights and just go for a goal scorer. I mean, I think. I've got absolutely no idea why Sadio Berahino is 17-10 to score in this game. I mean, this guy is a proven goal scorer in the Premier League. You know, he scored the only goal in the win over Southampton. He scored in the 4-0 win over West Ham in the Cup. He scored at home against Swansea in the game in the league before that. By the way, Brown today, he's also scored in plenty of those. You know, this guy is a goal scorer. He's a poacher. He can score goals from outside the area. He's got 12 in his 28 games so far this season in the Premier League. See, no, he should be the same sort of price as Wayne Rooney is.
Yeah, no, it's a fair.
I love that bet. Love that bet.
It is a fair point. I mentioned it. I may have been a little bit hard on Stoke there, saying they've gone off the boil a little bit. They've actually won their last three, but there just seems to be, you know, when you get a feel about it.
A bit of a malaise about them. They don't score enough goals away from home, Derek. Is probably what I mean. They're quite nice on the eye and all that, but they don't score enough for me. They don't concede, man. They only conceded 17 away from home, but they scored one a game, 14, averaged one a game. Won 5, drawn 4, lost 5. It's middle of the table, isn't it? Basically, you know, it's whether they're up for, if they were up for it, I'd give them a chance. But just don't seem to be as mean as they used to be, Stoke. So I think West Brom has got more to play for, and that man Berahino for me, 17-10.
Okay, Berahino and a draw in that game. Then Leicester against Hull is down at the other end of the table, 5-4 for Leicester. The draw 21-10. Hull are 12-5. It's kind of brought up every week that Leicester play well and don't get a result. Yeah. They need to start getting the results, don't they? So does it start today?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is the third lowest home scoring team against the third lowest away scoring team. I think it'll be a tense and nervy match. I was reading some quotes from Matthew Upson, who's like, you know, making all the right noises, saying that we need to be fearless. The moment you let fear creep into your game, it's got a negative impact. It's all right. It's like Derek was saying earlier on. It's all right saying those things, but I think when they go out on the pitch, then they'll be nervy going into this one. Hull have got a pretty dreadful away record this season. Won one of the last 13 Premier League away matches. 5 draws in there, to be fair. Failed to score in 7 of the last 10 league games on the road as well. You know, 3 points worse off than they were last season. Steve Bruce lent himself a new contract.
Love it. Unbelievable.
Fans pretty much universally have welcomed that move as well. I mean, so he's done great work there. Don't quite know how, but you know, maybe they don't expect to be any better than they are, and fair play to them. You know, the expectation hasn't outstripped their performances. So, but basically, I think it'll be tense. I think it'll be nervy. Neither of them score many goals. Drawing under 2.5 goals for me. I mean, take the draw if you like. I can't see it being a 2-2 though. So, in my mind, you may as well just go for the draw and under 2.5. And you've got a 0-0 and a 1-1 on your side there.
Yeah. Well, to Leicester are currently, for a team that's only won 4 games out of 27, you know, why would anyone be backing them at 5-4? It's a criminal price.
Yeah.
You know, the draw, it looks all over a draw. Furthermore, it looks all over a 0-0 draw. I think Hull, actually, looking at the way things are at the bottom of the league now, I think, you know, old flat nose would be made up with a point here. Picking up a point from teams in the relegation zone, it would be made up with that. And I can't see Hull going at it. 0-0 looks all over, nailed on to me.
Yeah, it's 11-4, the draw, and under 2.5, Mark, I think.
Okay.
0-0, 15-2 for 0-0. That might be the shortest price I've seen that for a long, long time, actually.
Yeah, I think you know what? I think I've seen I think there's a 13-2, but I think there's a game further on the coupon, or maybe we've even talked about it. It could be the Palace one. 13-2, I think it was.
It's the Sunderland game.
Oh, yes, of course.
I'm sure that I should do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, let's move on to it now. I bet you can't wait. Sunderland against Villa. Sunderland 7-5. The draw 2-1. Villa 11-5. You're talking about the 0-0 being 13-2. I can kind of guess what you're going to think here. But Sunderland have really, really badly gone off the boil. And Aston Villa maybe going the other way. Could Villa sneak this?
Yeah. Momentum, they've got it, haven't they? And Sunderland haven't. You know, I wouldn't say they were brilliant in either of those victories against West Brom. But, you know, West Brom before then hadn't been an easy nut to crack. You know, they're in the FA Cup semi-final, 2 wins under their belt against a team that scored 1 goal in their last 5. And, they look all at sea. I think Villa, I've always said it about Villa, I'm always prepared to back them away from home. And yet, lo and behold, they've won 2 on the spin at Villa Park. But I think they're a big price here. They were vying to be my nap. This week, I think they're very, very good things.
Shock horror! You're going to nap Villa.
I know. Wow. Unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh, please do that, Derek.
I didn't get to the top of the nap table by about a zillion miles by napping Villa every week.
What do you make of it, Lee?
It's rubbish, isn't it? Really, second lowest home scorer is Sunderland. Villa, of course, as we know, only scored 4 goals all season away from home. I mean, they scored 11 in 25 before Tim Sherwood took over. This is just in the league. And obviously they've scored three in three since he took over. So the ratio's better. Still hasn't got them doing much away from home, has he? So will it continue? Will he look at the games away from home and think, we just need to go and pick up a point, don't lose them. A point away, wins at home will do us. That's the worry I've got about backing Aston Villa here. And I just can't get that. You know, when I look at that goals column away from home and it just says four, I just cannot believe that. I still can't believe that it's they've scored so few goals on the road. I think I'll just be wimp out and go for the draw. You know, again, maybe the same as the game previously, draw and under 2.5. You know, I can see that happening. It seems a pretty obvious one to me. I mean, Villa are overpriced. I mean, I think if there's going to be a goal in the game, I think the likes of Christian Benteke and is overpriced at 2-1, but I'm not even sure there will be a goal. So I'll be boring and go another draw and under 2.5 goals. The previous game was 11-4, and this one is priced up at 5-2. So you can see what the bookies think, can't you?
Yeah.
Okay, final game this weekend that we're going to look at is Everton against Newcastle. Everton 17-20, the draw 12-5, Newcastle 7-2. The problem with these two teams is you never quite know which rendition of the team you're going to get. Everton in Europe seem pretty good. In the league, they seem terrible. Newcastle could be solid one day and then terrible the next. So how do you play it this weekend?
Well, Everton, because they always seem to be playing on Thursday nights. They play many of their matches in the Premier League on a Sunday, and they don't appear to have won in a month of them. In fact, they've only won one Premier League game since December the 15th.
Quite amazing.
I mean, this is, you know, Everton, who were like bubbling along in sixth and seventh every season under Moyes. And now look where they are, and I think they're a criminally sure price here. You know, a tough game against Kiev in midweek. Okay, you know, Newcastle, you never know, do you? But you're getting 7-2. It's different back in Newcastle, who you never know about, at 11-10 or 6-4 at St. James's Park. At 7-2, I'm prepared to take a chance that we'll get, a fired up Newcastle. Yet there's a danger that there's nothing to play for, pretty much as it was in August for Newcastle, nothing to play for. They're not going down, they're not going to get into Europe. And they're playing against an Everton team who really, I suppose, still need, you know, a few points to be safe. But 7-2, it's too big. It's just too big. I've got to go for the Geordies here.
Okay. Newcastle for Derek. What about yourself, Lee?
No idea. I'm the actual outright. Anything could happen, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, I don't like Everton at prices. Don't like Newcastle full stop. I mean, our colleague Alex, you watch them week in, week out. You know, he can't have them full stop, can he? He's a diehard Newcastle fan. Can't even have the draw. One thing I can have, though, is I think there'll be goals in the game. The six of the eight games when Everton returned from Europe have been over 2.5 goals. And all three of the home matches that they've played in following the European Thursday night game have featured over 2.5 goals. So I'm just going to go for a nice, plain, simple, over 2.5 goals at 19-20. I would say that, you know, we're at the stage of the season now where it's time Everton actually started to win some games, and I think the crowd will give them that feeling as well. Three games they've won at Goodison all season long. I think the crowd may just get into them a bit this weekend, in a good way, I mean, you know, an encouraging way. And I think they will beat Newcastle, but no way I could be backing them at the price. But because I think they'll win, I think there'll be goals in the game as well. So over 2.5, just a touch of odds on, but I can take that, basically.
Okay, fair enough. Right, is it time to move on to the Naps, the best bets?
It is indeed. I'm looking forward to yours, Mark.
Yeah. We'll start with you, Lee.
Has BK given you a nap?
He hasn't given me
one for him.
No,
I love it when you pick his naps.
Yeah, I mean, hang on. Before we move on, haven't we got an update? I mean, you know what? The Bank of England, you know, I read in the paper this morning, they're going to stop pumping more money into the economy, you know, with its quantitative easing, and just circulate my podcast nap every week. I felt like get the economy boosted.
I was going to do it this week, though, but I've been rushed off my feet here at Charlton.
Yeah. Greece were on the blower today asking me for a bailout. That's how informed I am.
I'm going to be I think he's in the lead. What I will say is I think Derek's got a healthy lead at the moment.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping he does an Annie Power.
I'm going to go for... I did Annie Power this week. I'm going to go for... Tottenham at 3-1 with a word mentioned in dispatches, QPR at almost 4-1 at Palace. I think that's a good bet too, but Tottenham for me at Man United.
It's a strange weekend when Villa, QPR and Tottenham at Man United could seem good bets.
Yeah, actually it is, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
It's mad, isn't it? Did you see that there were 50,000 Hills punters who had bets rolling on to any power?
Oh.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Jesus. What, with the other three Mullins pop ones, were they?
So, they still had winners, you know, because obviously not every bet was a four-timer, but unbelievable. There was a palpable gasp around here. I don't know if it was for fear of, you know, any power's safety or the relief.
Well, exactly. They said, you know, I've always, you're not supposed to, you know, when you're in a betting shop when you're younger and you first start horse racing, you're not supposed to shout fall at the leader because, you know, when you're back to second, it's bad form and it never works anyway. But I can imagine every bookie in the land shouting, fall! Going over to the last one and he powered it. It was quite, you always say something always saves the bookies and dear me, that goes down a legend that.
It's funny you say that, though, because I was stood outside watching it, and I happened to be recording it, because it was obviously an exciting moment. The bookies were across the industry stood to lose, like, 100 million or something. And the guy said exactly those words, stood right next to me. You know, something always happens for the bookies.
Yeah. Yeah.
As he screwed his slip up and walked away in disgust. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But the Naps, I'm going for Cedo Berahino, Mark, at 17-10, just to score a goal.
Okay, fair enough. Do I have to put one in for DK, then?
Yes.
Yep.
I'll go for Liverpool to beat Swansea.
Mm.
Continue their good domestic form. They've really got a charge at this top four, haven't they? So.
Oh, yeah, it's got a big chance.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. Okay, good stuff.
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Mark.
All right,
cheers.
Lads. Have a good Cheltenham, Lee.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks, Joe. We'll switch you next week.
All right, cheers, boys.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.